Amen. Well, Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what's going on in our lives. We thank you, Father, for completing the work that you started in us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord, and making all of us victorious in this walk because of your name. And we pray through your name that to pray the name of Jesus is powerful. Because we walk in Jesus, and I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that everything that we pray causes our enemies to shudder. Because it's true that when we invoke our prayers as if we were Jesus' power from on high, goes through to the enemy. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God for your Holy Spirit that leads us, guides us into this walk that you've got us in. And Lord, a lot of times we don't understand that when there's more in the spiritual realm than we can ever imagine. And Father, I ask that we all press in to the things of the spiritual realm, more so to get closer to you, Father. That's the quest, is to draw nigh unto you and to be able to hear your voice every time you speak to us, Lord. And the way to do that is to draw nigh unto you. Father, I ask and I pray that you place it in all of our hearts to come as close to you as you will allow us. And you'll allow us to do it as close as we want to become. And I praise you for that, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we get distracted by the things of the world. And I ask that you take it away from us, that the most exciting thing right now is learning more about you, the revelations that you're giving us. And how to walk in this spiritual realm. And the things of the spiritual realm are so exciting at times, all the time, actually. And it's even going to grow more and more as we learn and get you out of the box, take you out of our pockets, so to speak, and allow you to show us the things of the spiritual realm. And I praise you, Father, for answering our prayers tonight, that we do have an open heaven because we do draw nigh to you. And Father, I thank you for that. You said one will send 1,000 and two will send 10,000 to flight. And I believe that. And I praise you, Father, that when we speak and pray, the enemy does shudder and has to go. Thank you, Father, for doing it all for us. That all we have to do is just rest in the knowledge that you're working in us and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Bless us tonight with your leading, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I got one. Got a neighbor down here that's, he's had cancer in him, but now it's up in his lungs, and they want to take a part of his lungs out. And he's real nice to us. And I've talked to him and tried to get him to let us come over there. He's been hurt out of church before, and doesn't really have much to say about the Lord. So if y'all would just believe me, Father God, I know that you could turn hardly around. I know that you could turn his thinking around. And I ask that you send your angels over there to show favor to you, Father, that you would turn him back to you. I know he's got a hard heart. It seems like, but I can tell he's softening up because of this infirmity. Lord, while he's going to North Carolina tomorrow to see his grandson, I ask that you speak to him. I ask, Lord, that you give him a dream or that you would give him a vision of you talking to him, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that not only would he come into the kingdom, but that you'll heal him. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for Harvey, Lord. He was good to my grandsons when he worked for him, when they worked for him. And I ask, Father, that you do a mighty quick work in Harvey. Bringing him into the kingdom is the most important thing. But as you bring him into the kingdom to your glory, Lord, I ask that you heal him completely. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Y'all believe that with me? Lord of God, thank you, Father, for doing that. Praise God forevermore. Okay, Andrew.
Well, I just want to say a little praise report. You know, I went to the store and I bought some of these avocados. And, you know, they have a pit on the inside. And I like to get them real ripe. And I cut them in half. And then I scoop out the inside and put it in the bowl and mash it up. But, you know, I took the other half of the avocado with the pit still in it. And I put it in my hand. And I was holding it down with my thumb. And, you know, you put your knife on it. And then you just turn it and it'll come and pluck out the pit from the inside. So I put down my knife on it and it wasn't sticking in. So I kind of forced it in and it slipped off the thing and it hit my thumb real hard, this knife. And then I went, I put the thing down and I looked at my thumb and I went, this should be bleeding, you know, and it didn't register. And I went, and then I took it out, and then after I was mashing it, and I went, wait a minute, this should have cut my thumb. And then I said, I better start thanking God for this. So I thank God for saving me from an accident that would have probably cut my thumb open. And so that was really wonderful that he saved me there. And you know, he. There's another praise report. I had this thing come in the mail. It was a charity. They wanted money off of me. And it was a charity that I used to do in the past. And it was the way they worded it in the letter. They said, Andrew, we all kind of believe the same way. You know, this is what they were saying in the letter. And then I went, wait a minute, he's leading me and egging me on about something here. And then I always wondered why the Lord had me remember something from, you know, those court scenes you have in there about leading the witness, you know, and the judge is supposed to bring the gavel down and say, you're leading the witness here. And I went, well, wait a minute. Who's the witness after all that's supposed to be in me, you know? And that's a witness of love, you know? And then I went, they're trying to lead the witness here, you know? I know they say that because of the law, you know, but we have the fulfillment of the law. And they're trying to lead the witness in me to get me to make donations to them. So I went, this is a trick, you know? So I quickly ripped up the letter and threw it in the garbage. You don't lead this witness. The witness that leads me is supposed to be only through Christ. And I thought about that for a while, and a really huge amount of problems can come to a person if a person tries to coerce you into believing something that you're really not supposed to believe. They're they're leading your witness. And wait a minute, you can't lead my witness here. You know, I'm not supposed to believe that. I'm, whatever it may be, you know, you can, you could be looking at something in the news, and they'll have you believe something, and they're leading the witness, right? And that's not right. So there's a lot more to this leading the witness than I, than you can really think of if you just meditate on it for a while and you go, yeah, there's a lot of witness that's out there. It's not the light, it's the darkness. And they're trying to lead us around. And even, you know, when you get tempted, you know, and that's bad tempted, he's trying to lead you into a different witness, into a different testimony. And I was going, man, there's a lot to this, you know. Because, you know, you'd watch those courtroom scenes and when you used to watch TV way back when, and they would have Law and Order or something like that. And then the judge would say, you're leading the witness here, you know, to the one on the witness stand, you know. But you don't realize just how much that can happen to a person, you know, even like with the factious people. They lead the witness. They lead the witness that you're supposed to have written up on your heart. And if you know you're tired that day or something, and you might be reading that letter that I got, you just might go for it, you know, and give them a couple of dollars. But I tore it in half, threw it in the garbage. I'm not going to tell you what charity it is. But anyways, so I guess the Lord was showing me again, be careful. You know, be careful with your knife when you're trying to get the pit out of the avocado, and be careful with your reading. So praise God. Thank you, Lord.
All right, Geneva. Thank you, Lord, for saving his thumb.
So I just want to thank the Lord, and then I also have a prayer request. The other night, I slipped on one of Micah's toys. Well, this is last week, actually. I slipped on one of Micah's toys, and I fell. But I fell on, I went backwards, and the corner of my head hit the corner of the wall, like the door frame. And then I landed on my side, and I cried. It hurt pretty bad. And my head was throbbing for a while, but I just cast down concussions or anything like that. And thank goodness I didn't have any blood. But, you know, I was just nervous about the baby the entire time. And I just kept praying, and Morgan prayed over me, and I just laid down. And anyways, I prayed, you know, Lord, let the baby be moving. Let everything be fine. Like, I know I'm fine. Anyways, praise the Lord, like 30 minutes later, the baby was kicking and everything like normal. So, I know this baby's protected, and I know I'm protected. And, the next day my head kind of hurt, but I just, kept casting it down. Anyways, it got better and better. And so just want to praise the Lord. Like, that could have been pretty bad. And, God, you know, took care of me and, took away the pain in my head. And, you know, thank goodness that when I did fall, I fell on my side. So anyways, I just thank the Lord for that. That was pretty scary. But so then yesterday, this is what I'm asking for prayer for. Morgan was working with his dad, and his dad puts in windows, and he was on a ladder, and then he fell off the ladder and he hurt his ankle pretty bad. So they think it's broken, and with his work, we kind of don't know what to do. So he's got to get a doctor's note, but I just want to pray and believe that it's not broken in Jesus' name, because that could be like 6 weeks, you know, and we don't want them to be aggravated with him for any reason or anything of that sort, because the Lord's really, not that I think they would, but the Lord's really blessed him, you know, with this job. And so many blessings have happened to us here lately, and it's been awesome. Like, praise God, like Morgan got a raise at work, and that was huge. That was awesome. And has really blessed us. And then, praise the Lord, we got the Kia going. So Archaea that hasn't been working for like, well, let's say 2, 1.5 years, it seems like, and then some off and on kind of going. Morgan was able to just pay somebody to look at it and fix it. And so, they fixed it and now it's running just like a brand new car again. And so I just want to praise the Lord that God's been blessing us in that way that we can do that, whereas before we couldn't. So, we've had a lot of blessings. And anyways, this fall, I just rebuke it in Jesus' name because my husband's foot is healed and his ankle is fine and he's going to be able to walk on it in Jesus' name. So I know, Michael, if you want to say a prayer.
Lord, we lift up Morgan to you. We thank you, Father. He's a believer. He believes with us, Lord, and I thank you that this is nothing for you. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that ankle to be healed. I command every tendon to be healed. I command every bone to be healed. I command every muscle to be healed in Jesus' name, and I command the pain to leave him. The next time he gets on his feet, he's not going to have any pain, and he'll give you the glory, Lord, and I thank you for it. I believe he's healed right now in Jesus' name, and I praise you, Father, for Morgan's healing and building his faith up with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that to your glory, he is healed right now. Is that just one ankle or both?
It's just the one.
Okay. Well, he's healed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I thank you for your touch right now upon him, Lord. Not only a touch that you put rest in his heart to believe and not to trust the doctors in Jesus' name, just to trust you. Amen. Yeah, we do. We cast down all witchcraft curses that may be spoken against him. We cast down everything that's a negative story on his ankle, that he is healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. Thank you, Father. It's done. Glory to God. I believe it.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. I confess. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. One of them has a testimony here. He says, a huge tree on the edge of my property just broke spontaneously. And instead of falling on my property wall, it fell right beside it. When I first saw it, I was very disappointed because it ruined my herbicide garden. But my wife pointed out that it would have destroyed our wall had it fallen on it. Praise the Lord for looking after us all, even in the small things. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you for not allowing that tree to fall on its wall in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The garden can be repaired fairly easy. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it. Hey, Jesse. All right, anybody else? All right, Joe, you want to share what you got?
Michael, I sent you a mail on Faith 144. I sent you an email.
You did? Okay. Hang on. Let's find my... There you go. Can y'all hear me okay? Do you have a delay?
No.
Okay, good. You're answering in a delay. All right, let's see here. Matthew 11:2. Now, when John heard in the prison the works of the Christ, he sent by his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? Here's David's answer in the book. What book is that? WHBSB. Page
What has been
145.
shall be.
Oh, okay. What has been shall be. Page 145.
Yeah.
Unexpected Messiah. Another text in Matthew 11 speaks about John the Baptist's simple ministry, and perhaps he didn't yet understand a few things. Seems very plain here, Matthew 11 and 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in the prison the works of the Christ, he sent by his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? Now, why did he say that? It may be that Jesus was not living up to expectation, but not that Jesus wasn't already doing a great work. Maybe in John's eyes, he wasn't living up to expectations of what they thought the Messiah was going to bring. And I'm referring to the religious crowd of his day. They didn't expect him to come this way or act this way. It's very likely that John had some of that in him because he asked the questions through his disciples. Art thou he that cometh? Or look we for another? Matthew 11 and 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good tidings preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling in me. Well, that was a mild reproof for John to tell John, you shouldn't stumble. Don't stumble in me. John was the stone of stumbling, Romans 9 and 33. And people did stumble over Jesus. But he warned John not to stumble over him because there was a big difference between their ministries. John preached repentance. And Jesus was an enigmatic teacher of the deep things of God. He had deep revelations of these things. We never had any sign that John ever went beyond the basic preaching of faith and repentance, which is what is needed to prepare the way for the coming of the teaching. People are not even interested in that unless they have changed their mind and turned to God. We hear many times of people who, after repenting and turning to God, ask him to lead them to truth. And God did that for them. He led them to truth because they had repented and truly became disciples. But they needed some food. The important thing is that when John is through with you, you're ready for Jesus. This is what's coming in our day. When an evangelist is through with you, you're ready for a teacher. So God is laying the foundation, and he always does a very good job of that. Matthew 11 and 7, and as these went their way, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. John was not a fancy person at all, was he? He certainly didn't eat fancy food. No, he sure didn't. Matthew 11 and 9. But wherefore went ye out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is a great prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. And as we'll see a little further down in the text, John was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, according to Jesus. Not because he spoke a lot of great things, but because of the anointing and the preparation and the job that he had to do. Once again, John, or God, is choosing a people through whom he is going to do a great work. Many of God's people are going to turn to God through this ministry, a worldwide ministry. Okay, praise God. Well, you asked the right man. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comment? Yeah, thanks, Joe. That's good. That's awesome. Has anybody got any questions about what we just read here?
Can I say something, Michael?
Well, certainly.
I was just thinking it was on. And what was an awesome answer. It's not nearly in the direction I was thinking about it. It was completely in a different direction. That's what's so awesome. He's such an awesome teacher. He took the whole thing and it was just awesome because I'm reading the whole book. I started the book yesterday. So it was a chapter, this one, and that's just an awesome answer. How we look at different ways of thinking of an answer there. Oh, no, that's all I want to say. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I don't think I've ever read that book. That'd be something we could do our next book study here. Yeah, we're about through with The Man, Child, and the Bride. That was a good book. Anybody read The Man, Child, and the Bride? Prophecy? Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty.
Yeah.
It's actually a good book. A real good book. Learned a lot.
Are you, Michael?
Yes, sir.
He started on this book on Matthew chapter 1, but he begat all of the genealogy. He started with this on this book. And that was just an awesome revelation as well about the genealogy means the same as Genesis. It's also almost like it's the beginning. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. David is a researcher. He loves to research. He did that from the beginning. He loved it from the beginning. It's hard to trip him up. I don't know. See, I've tripped him up probably zero times. I don't try to trip him up. I try to learn from him. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Anybody got any questions about what we just read? Anybody know the date of the tribulation?
Michael?
Yes, sir. Joe's got the answer.
I know it's not. I know it's not today.
Oh no, no, it's not today, is it?
It's one day closer.
It's a day closer. Yes, it is. April 8th. Maybe, I don't know. I do know this. I do know this for a fact. Mark this down. because this is fact. God don't give dates. He don't give dates. We could come up with the date all we want to. He'll make a fool completely out of it. We've learned that the hard way. David and I both have. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Oh, wait a minute. I do. There must be a delay in my talking and y'all listening, because I see reaction about 5 seconds after I say something. Yeah, Julie. See, she still got her hand up.
I don't hear it. Well, we're not delayed. Somehow you're delayed on your end.
Oh, I can hear you right now. It's all good.
But
I don't know what's going on. In the name of Jesus, I command this devil to get out of my computer right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I was praying this afternoon, and I asked the Lord to give us a word for the outlook tonight, and I got a good word. Jeremiah 23:3-5, my finger was on 3:3-5, Jeremiah 23:3-5. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. How many of you know that could be the man child? Yes, praise God. And the bride. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. And that was my faith at random. I just opened up the book, stuck my finger down, and there it was. After I'd asked him that question. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anybody got any comments on what's happening in the world? What's the best TV show? Huh? Get your tongue back in, Missy. Oh, my. Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys had heard, like, on, you know, April 8th is the eclipse, and they were saying that the path of the eclipse goes through 7 cities named Nineveh. And there's what, even the last one is in Canada. I just thought that was interesting. I don't know if you guys had any insight into that.
Well, I'll tell you something else that they said about, I don't know this to be true or not, but they said the same thing occurred back in 1811 when the New Madrid Fault took off, right before it took off. It had that great earthquake then. registered 7, I think. They said it seemed like it probably is a 7 on the Richter scale. I think that's correct. It could have been a 9, but I think it was a 7. Yeah, Missy?
I looked up, there was an eclipse. It was September something, and then I think the first New Madrid earthquake went off like a couple months later or something like that. I think it was in December. And then there were like two or three then in 1812 then. There were like follow-ups. The worst one was 8.8 in 1812.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't the war start then too? The war of 1812? Same year?
Yeah. Yeah. War of 1812. And 1812. Amen.
Andrew, you anybody, know our history better than we do.
Does anybody know what the War of 1812 was about? Oh. I'm just asking. It's about 1812.
All I know is both sides won.
All right. Anybody else? What do you mean, no? Okay. All
and,
right.
And that's because it was over. Yeah. So both sides won because the war ended.
Well, it was foolish to begin with, wasn't it? Could be, Judith. I don't try to keep it off, but it could be. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share or question? Let me turn this thing off if it's on. No, it's not on. Turned it off the other day. I don't need it because I'm on Ethernet. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share, like a question? Anybody got a question about the scriptures? Oh, I have one this afternoon. Let me think if I can see if I can think about it, what it was. Oh, I know what it was. Hey, when you're born again, after you're born again, I've heard preachers say this from the pulpit, believing it, it's the truth. And I've heard them say this, once you're born again, there's nothing else. It's just you're born again. You're ready. You're ready for heaven at this time. Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard it a number of times. You know, you've got all you're going to get. There's not any more. Well, what else is there then? And I said, not a trick question. It's just a question to see if we can get some discussion here. After you're born again, what happens? What is it you're born again from or into? Some of you men out there. I know I ain't got that much of a lag in my voice. Y'all hear me? Boy, we got some teaching to do. If I'm... Okay, Benjamin, thank you.
Well, Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. So we're born again into the holy nature of Christ Jesus that was given unto us by our Father. So we partake of a holy nature, walking away from our sinful nature that could still be lingering around, trying to drag us back into a unholy nature. And it's a progressive cell. It's a instantly we have salvation, but we progressively walk toward it. And
okay.
Progressively, meaning we gain fruit, we walk more in Christ, and the more fruit we have, the more in the image of Christ we are. So we bear his fruit, we become conformed to the image of the Son from glory to glory, and that's star glory, moon glory, sun glory. And yeah, that's the calling. We're called to be holy.
So when I accept Christ, what is saved in me at that particular time? What goes on right then? Is it that just my spirit is saved? And then we have what else to go? I'm trying to lead y'all into giving me the answers. Yeah, Ben.
When you become born again, you have the born again spirit. And then progressively our soul becomes saved, or the soul salvation. There you go. And then there's the new body, but I don't know much about that. So someone else can talk now.
Well, that's when you get your glorified body, as you're completely matured, or you go up into the world, up into the... All right, Barbara. So it's a
hi.
Hey.
The soul salvation by faith, we take on the divine nature of God, and he, as we walk, as we enter in and walk by faith, we receive that manifestly, little by little, like Ben said, progressively. That's how I understand it anyways.
Okay. So if this is a progressive type of salvation, how do I progress? Okay, Missy.
By reading the word that crucifies your old man and brings you into the image of Jesus. Walking in it. Walking in the word. Being a hearer, not a doer. Not being a hearer and a doer. How do I say that? Being a hearer and a doer, not just a hearer, but a doer also.
You said a hearer and not a doer.
No, but that's okay.
We understand.
I got tongue tied.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. Yeah. So, yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, they have a song about it. It is well with my soul. You know, when peace like a river attendeth my way, it attends your soul. And, so you say it is well with my soul when you go through a trial. And because you've already overcome that once and it shouldn't really happen again. Well, sometimes it does until you finally overcome it. And, if it is well with your soul and you learn something and you tend to use it for the next time, And that shows that you have overcome that portion or that fruit. So praise God.
Amen. Y'all do something for me. I'm going to try a little secret here on my microphone or try to get it. All right. I'm going to change it. Now you see me talking. All right. When you hear me say, I've changed it, raise your finger. Maybe your hand. Okay. I've changed it. It's too late. That didn't do it. All right. I've changed it again. It's too late. Golly. Okay. All right, how about that? Yeah, about 5 seconds later. Okay, if we'll just deal with it tonight. No, we won't. It's got to go. In Jesus' name. Somebody had their hand up. Who was it? Okay, Debbie. Where'd she go?
No, I didn't have my hand up. I didn't have my hand up. I was putting it up when you said what you said.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I put it up when you said what you said.
Okay.
Mine was up, Michael.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
No, I would just say, sorry, Benita, I'll be quick. On Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, David, the explanation about it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp unto my feet is where your standing is, and the light unto my path is your progressive walk. The more you walk, the more light you receive. David explained it much better than I, but that's the verse he's talking about. It's a beautiful verse, that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, Renita.
Yeah, I was just going to say that in the church, in the Baptist church where I was for 15 years, they definitely taught progressive sanctification. But they also believed in the once saved, always saved. And they left out all of the ifs that are in the Bible. Like, if indeed you continue in your faith, you have to continue in your faith and not just be saved at the beginning. You have to continue it. You have to be an overcomer. They didn't really talk about that part of it. So, but they did talk about the progressive sanctification. But they didn't talk about the sun, moon, and the star, moon, and the sun glory. They didn't talk about that at all as being a part of the progressive salvation that we go through. They never talked about that.
Yeah. Ideas. Yeah, Missy.
I just like to say that is definitely one thing with star, sun, and moon glory. I've never heard that until David. Never heard anybody else teach that.
Nope. Yep. Me included. He was the first one I heard say it. Talk about it. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to say there was somebody that did bring up this star, moon, and sun glory, but it was in a completely different way. And I can't remember what it was at all, what he was saying about it, but it was nothing to do with the progression of our sanctification. But at the time, when he was talking about it, it didn't occur to me, but something that I learned from David is there can be more than one, what is it? Not interpretation, but when more than one revelation from a verse or from a particular topic. So they might have been saying something that was accurate, but that doesn't mean that the progression part of it isn't accurate also. And that was a good revelation that I received from David, just understanding that there's more than one aspect of different things, and you've got to look at it from, you know, the, what does he say? The, I can't even remember. It's been a while since how does he say that? He's got like the progressive and the, I can't remember what it was now. Telescopic. No, that's not, I don't know, something like that. I can't remember how he said it. Julie knows.
I remember.
Panoramic.
Panoramic, that's it. Panoramic Bible Studies. Should have remembered that.
Amen. Well, now that we're talking about all of that, looks like we're going to. What's the difference? Now, there are churches out there, denominations out there, that speak about two different things when I, what I'm fixing to tell you. And they're two different words, and there's two different meanings for them. I want to know from y'all, is there two different meanings between holiness and sanctification? I like all the hands up. Yeah, Debbie. Go ahead, Ben. I don't guess you heard me. Can y'all hear me? It's just a delay.
I can hear you.
Sorry. Can I answer that again? Excuse me, Ben. I'm sorry. I was saying no. I think they're both the same thing.
Okay, let's see what Ben said.
Is that right? Yeah, okay.
Well, I think sanctification is the process of being separated from an unholiness. And then holiness is just the nature of being holy. So sanctification is being whole, is becoming holy, and then holy is just you're holy. At least that's what I understand.
I'm going to give you David's definition.
I guess I was thinking more like if we're saying, we're sanctified. We are holy, we're sanctified.
All right, let's see what Andrew said. You're unmuted. There you go. Got it.
Well, in Ephesians 5 and 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. So you have the word there, and it sanctifies you too, because the word is the powerful word of God that we have faith in. But, you know, there are three witnesses here, and the three witnesses in 1 John 5 and 7, I think, that it says the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So this spirit is a Holy Spirit. And all the fruits of the Holy Spirit will sanctify you, will make you holy. And there's not only fruits of the Holy Spirit, there's the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you got that too. And you know, this glory verse that we like to talk about, we all with an unveiled face behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We are to walk in the Father's glory that he shares with us. And it's also a type for the light that's in you. We are children of light. For what communion hath light with darkness, and we are children of light, even as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But, you know, that light is a lamp that's within your temple, and it's got oil in it, so the oil is also considered to be that Holy Spirit that keeps the light lit. And In old-fashioned times, there used to be a priest that used to look after that lamp. and make sure there was oil in it. And you're priests unto our God too. You have to look after your land to make sure that through the grace of God, that is, that you attain the grace that would give you the righteousness. And of course, righteousness is a blessing. Hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And we all have that blessing because there's that famous verse that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And sometimes you can recognize this blessing being active in you. And sometimes, you know, you've just been studying for a while and you go, hey, I'm a lot better than I was a long time ago. And God kind of surprises you with that blessing. It's a great thing to have from the Father for him to share his glory with us. And that's what we want. We want to be children of light, sons and daughters of light. Praise God. And how much light you have is how much fruit you have in your soul. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. So, basically, there's no difference, is there, in sanctification and holiness? Ain't no difference. It's all the same.
You know, I'd like to add one other thing, though. What's the definition of the word church? Because church is called out. And that's a sanctification when you're seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness, and all things of the Lord's righteousness you want added unto you, because the righteous shall live by faith. So this church is called out of the nations into the kingdom. Even those people over there in Israel have to be called out of Israel. Have to be called out of Israel into the kingdom. Because even Paul said that they're the ones pertaining to the adoption in Romans chapter 9. They are the ones pertaining to the adoption, but they still have to be called into this adoption like the Gentiles have to be. See, they have to be called out of physical Israel into the spiritual Israel. And I think a lot of the people out there don't realize that that's true. You know, they have a covenant with God, but it's the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Because in chapter 9, if you just peruse it, you're supposed to have that same consciousness as Paul to the degree you have it in 9:1. So, and it's of the Holy Spirit. So the consciousness that Paul spoke of there. And it shows you his desire for people to be saved that were of his own race, as you should be for what country you come from and what nationality of people you have. Anyways, just trying to say praise God and glory to God for that, because even if you apprehend something, it still has to go beyond apprehension to the manifestation of it. Beyond comprehension to apprehension would be the good fruit in your soul, according to the Word of God. And that's what we desire, to obey God, to love God. And if you ask for love, he's going to give you this obedience and coming into agreement with him. And I would I would hope that he's going to give you truth too, because there's how many different viewpoints? You know, God's going to have to be doing a big restoration for a lot of people. And I'm sure a lot of people here even know how much you've been corrected since you started with God's ministry here of UVM. And we give our soul to the bishop of our soul, the overseer of our soul. And we pray for the man-child, the bride, and a new fivefold ministry to happen, and for the witness to be even good, the Star Glory people to have it right as much as they can have, you know, according to what the Lord will put in your mind as for you to have, because you're perfected going on into perfection. And that's what the Apostle Paul said in chapter 3 of Philippians. And he's responsible for hearing from the Lord, the God's breathed word that the people have been reading in the New Testament, most of it for 2,000 years almost. So, it's a wondrous thing that the Lord is going to do with us to manifest his word through us, to just to remind us about how to speak and what to do. Like I said earlier, you know, you can't have anyone lead you in a witness except for the true witness, the truth that is what you're supposed to love. You can't have a different narrative. It has to be the same narrative. It has to be the same witness, you know, because then you can discern what the Spirit is saying here. If the Spirit is the Spirit and it's the Holy Spirit, then it's of those seven lights, and it's of the Word, and it's of the overcoming blood. And the worst thing a person can do is shed the blood, as we discussed in Proverbs 1, to shed spiritual blood of a person. You know, you don't want to do that, because that's the blood he needs to overcome. It's his lifestyle, and it agrees with the Word, and it agrees with the Spirit, as it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, I think it is. It's written in a few verses there on how these three agree in one. So we don't want to wound. This is why the Lord stresses us to have love for the brethren, because we don't want to wound any brethren. We don't want to wound any young child even that comes to the Lord. You know, they could be born again. They could even be watered, baptized, and you know, some of them are fairly young. You know, some of them could be single digit in age, and you don't want to say something contrary, because that could be a devastating. And I just pray, Lord, that we would not say anything wrong. And if we ever did say anything wrong, they wouldn't remember it. They would only remember you, Lord. And I come before you being careful there. Even as the allegory shows for Job when he sacrificed for his children in case they might sin. And there is a meaning to that for our day. And praise and glory to God that he guard your lips, as it says in James chapter 3. Praise God. Glory to God. And
amen. Like the Father.
Glory to God.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. What should a person who is God's elect have as his first his only priority? I back it up with scripture. Go ahead, Julie.
I would say serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, just running after Jesus, seeking the kingdom, doing the works of the Lord, and being led by the Spirit of God, and I don't know, all of that and more. Right.
All right, Tim or Katie, thank you, Julie.
Hello, family. The verse that popped in my head was Psalms 27. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to stay in his presence and to walk in his house constantly. Every minute, every second, every hour of every day, to behold his beauty and to inquire of him with everything. Amen.
That's good, Tim. Thank you. Yeah, Missy.
Well, Julie pretty much said what I was going to say, in that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That's the one I was looking for.
I thought so.
Matthew 6.
I saw you light up when she said.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's it. We just run out to the Lord and everything else falls into place. Now, having asked that question, I got another question. Are we limited in anything as a child of God in our walk with Christ? Yeah, Ben.
There's that verse, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But the only thing that's limiting us is ourselves, is our own doubt that we can have. I would never put God in a box, but if I lean on my own understanding and my own faith, it's not going to really work out well for me or anybody. I got to rely on what the faith that God gave me, that God gives to me in his mercy and love.
I feel. That goes back to Matthew 6:33 again. The closer you become to Jesus, the Lord, the more, the wider will be your horizon in the spiritual kingdom, which you can get to a part where you'll be doing things that nobody thought was possible. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add to 6:33 of Matthew there about the kingdom of the Lord, because the kingdom of the Lord is within you. It's another partial verse, and when it manifests, the kingdom of the Lord is nigh you. And that's where we really want to be a lot, is in functioning through us.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick search in the eSword for a phrase that I, well, not phrase, but just something I searched. But, you know, we're limited only in that we can only do anything if the Lord allows us to do it. But I did, I can do nothing. And John 5:19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing, for whatsoever he doeth, these things, these the Son also doeth in like manner. And John 5:30, I of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's we're limited. We can't do anything unless the Lord allows it. And that's only by, you know, abiding in the Lord, staying in his word. You know, cause we start off as little kids. It's like, you know, and you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, right? Or you must become his children, you know, that have faith, and it is believe. You know, those things were coming through my mind when he says, is there anything limited? No, but yes, you know. There's, we're not limited, but then we are.
Right. All right. Now, there's going to be another question when we get through with this discussion, but just hang on. Let's see what else. What you got, Joe?
I'll start with Moses bring the law, but through Jesus it came grace and truth. Now, when grace and truth, now it says in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, in other words, if you're in Christ, you're free to do anything, but it's in Christ. It's not in yourself. It's in Christ.
Yes.
That's all. Thank you.
Amen. And so, how do you get a lot of Christ in you? Through the word, right?
Spend time in the word.
Yeah. So the more you know only about truth, the word of God. Truth. Yeah. So the more you know, I'm sorry about this delay in my speech here. It's kind of debilitating to me because I see y'all reacted about 5 or 6 seconds after I talk. See? But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say that you have to remember of God's sovereignty, for it is God that worketh in you both. You're referred to as a both, who willing to do of his good pleasure. And of course, that's in Philippians 2:13, and then there's 2:10 of Ephesians. But we are God's workmanship, showing that he is sovereign over us. And you know, by other verses, he even wants to walk in you. For it is God that worketh in you both. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore hath prepared that we should walk in them. And it's his good works, which is the Holy Spirit of goodness functioning through us. And of course, we really need to have strong faith in those verses that God is sovereign, working through us. And, you know, even to protect us from our accidents, like an avocado pit that I made earlier, and some people falling down, I guess, and also that letter I got to someone trying to put thoughts in my head through the letter, and all that, they wanted to get money off of me. Anyways, praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. So it seems to me that the more that you draw closer to God by reading and studying His Word, keeping the Word, understanding the Word, understanding what He requires of us, and understanding the love that He wants out of us, understanding every aspect, the more that you will operate in the spiritual. By being led by the Spirit of God, being taught by the Spirit of God, being all of those things that He wants us to do. And that's when the manifestations of the supernatural gets pretty deep in the things that God wants you to do at times. Translation, walking on water, going through walls. Yeah. What did Jesus say? He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. But there's a requirement that's involved before you're able to do those things, right? And that's to follow the Lord. Yeah, Tim?
So I'll share something on that with the supernatural. That's how we're just talking about hundredfold Katie and I, and walking in that sanctification of restoring that, what that entails, and acting on faith. And so my dad passed the 23rd last month, and I talked to him the night before he passed, and I noticed something was wrong, and I tried having him talk to his wife, my stepmom, to lay hands on him. Like, go have Lisa pray over you. He was complaining about pain that it was pretty severe, and he didn't. And my Katie knew that he didn't, so we called him back. But previous to that, he was just talking about in that conversation about a father and a son. The father received a call from his other son that his brother, his other son, had died. And he told his other son, nobody touch him. Don't let the coroner touch him. I want to see his body. And he told everybody to get out of the room. He laid hands on his son. And then by faith, his son rose from the dead right on the coroner's table. And we were just having that conversation with my dad. My dad was explaining to this. And not even 12 hours later, I was in that situation. And unfortunately, I had a conflict in myself. I got the call at 7 a.m. that my dad, had passed, and I didn't accept it. I didn't know how to react to it. And it's all a learning experience. I didn't want to go speak on it. So I just prayed. I'm like, I find myself in this exact position, my faith being tested. And hopefully when I do walk in that hundredfold, I want to see raising from the dead. And when I'm tested like that, when life tests you, arise to the challenge. Cause it was the fact that we were having that conversation, and then I find myself in that position, like I said, not even 12 hours later, was, it's revealing to me of how much really I can test my faith, and I put it into prayer. I'm like, Lord, is this Your will? Will prayers extend it? Will my act of faith extend His life? Because we all have a pre-appointed life, a time of birth and time of death, but it can get extended. We see that in the Word, 15 years from that one king. So yes, it's navigating it. And I want to be of that faith where I cannot accept death and be like, no, nobody touch him. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what the coroner thinks. I'm going to go over there and lay hands on him and see him raised from the dead, but that was a big thing. And me and Katie were praying on it, and I felt in my heart like that was, the will. But who knows? Maybe if I just didn't accept it and walk like Jesus did with Lazarus, like, no, he's just sleeping. Wait till I get there, no worry. But yeah, I just wanted to share that because that was the real thing, and I want to get there. It's a process. The Lord has grace, but why not, you know, to walk in that supernatural faith that he can do all things and we can do all things. We just have to, when it's called upon, we can have faith, but acting on it with every little thing. So just wanted to share that. Thanks, family, for listening.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I heard about a lady. Can y'all hear me okay? I heard about a lady that her husband was not saved. And he went into the hospital and he died. But she was there at his feet praying. And she kept telling the Lord, Lord, you promised me household salvation. I'm not giving up my praying and believing till he comes back to life. And the people would come in there, the doctors would come in there. And they'd tell her, said, we gotta take him out. He's dead. She said, no, he's not dead. Leave me alone. And she'd go to prayer. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for bringing my husband back and saving him. And she did that for hours. For hours. She didn't give up one bit. She stayed right there and prayed for him. And then the doctors would come in and, ma'am, we have to take him out. She said, why? He's not dead. He's dead. He's dead. And she said, no, he's not dead. And she just get down on her knees and be praying out loud. So they'd run out. And she kept praying. And then finally he woke up. Her husband woke up. And she just got up off her knees just like nothing happened. She said, honey, can I get you something to eat? What do you want? What do you want? He said, I want to go home and get some breakfast for on the way home. She said, okay. And so the nurses came running in there and said, oh my goodness. And he was getting up, getting dressed. He told his wife, said, go get my pants. And she went and got his pants and he was putting them on. The nurses said, you can't go anywhere. We got to do this. Mama said this. She said, you had your chance. We're going home. God raised him. You didn't do nothing to this. So they left, and he lived another, I forget how many years he lived after that, but he came right to Christ too. So that's the faith that we have to have. And you get that faith by believing and trusting God implicitly. You trust him with everything. And you'll see people raised from the dead. We've seen people raised from the dead from a phone call. One man called and said, my wife is dead. She's next to me. She's dead. She's dead. David said, put your hand on. And he told us, we was in there. He said, we're going to pray and she's going to be raised. And so we prayed for her. And he said, oh, she's breathing. Thank you, Jesus. They're on the telephone. We got to pray. She came back to life, lived, still living, as far as I know. That's just one of many. It's trusting the Lord to believe his word. Trusting his word. When he said, when you pray and you believe what you when you pray and you believe that you have received, past tense, you shall have it. You're going to have it. God's not a liar. He's going to have it. Praise God. Not only that, there's lots of other things that God's going to do in these times ahead. Some miraculous. I can foresee people going out into the streets where there's people lying everywhere dead, going out there, just walking out there. Be healed in Jesus. Come back to life in Jesus' name. Back life. Life. Come back into this body. Come back into this stuff. People rising up all around. Praising God. Praising God. I believe it. And I believe there's going to be people with that kind of faith. Yeah, that's another one. Was Curry Blake's daughter fell out of a two-story window when she was about 2 years old. Broke, I forget how many bones in her body. She was dead. Completely. And he'd take her in his arms. He was at the kitchen table when she fell out. He heard her out there, went out there and picked her up. went to crying. He locked in. He locked into Jesus. He said, "You shall live and not die in the name of Jesus." And his wife coming there after about 15, 20 minutes, says, "Honey, she's dead. Let it go." He said, "If you can't believe women, get out of here." And he went back to saying, "You shall live and not die in the name of Jesus. You shall live and not die." He did that for 45 minutes and he put her on the floor, pushed her up against the wall and said, "You will live and not die in the name of Jesus," and turn her loose and she'd fall back dead. He picked her up again. He did that for a while. "You shall live and not die in the name of Jesus." Then she'd fall down. And finally, he did it one more time. He said, "In the name of Jesus, you shall live and not die." And she went to coughing. Glory to God. And she's with him now. She's probably about 30 now in the ministry with him. That is perseverance and getting the job done. You endure in your faith to the end. That's what you do. I failed miserably. One time the Lord told a friend of mine, he said, "Get Michael and y'all go and pray for the 2 10-age boys that were killed in a car wreck." And so, Buddy called me and he said, "The Lord told me to get you and let's go pray for them boys up there in the funeral home." I said, "Okay, I'll go with you." And so we went up there. We spent about an hour up there praying, you know, commanding. And well, I don't guess God's going to do anything. And so we left. He wasn't enduring in our faith to the end, or we would have seen a great miracle. We didn't know that you're supposed to keep at it and keep at it. I hadn't been taught that. Keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until the faith rises up in you to get it done. David's taught that. Endure in your faith to the end, to see it done, till it starts happening. I'd like to just go up there and, you know, we all like the McDonald's healing, don't we? Pull up to the McDonald's window, get your Big Mac, go on. But sometimes you have to do what God wants you to do. He wants you to do what God wants you to do, and that's to endure in your faith to the end, to teach you to have patience that God's going to do it. God's already done it. Yeah, our faith is tried. That's right, Jim. And once you get that tried faith, you'll just know instantly, man, I'm going to lay my hands on this person and bless God, they're going to be healed. They're going to come back to life. They're going to grow that arm out. They're going to grow that leg out like they did back in Azusa Street. And they're still doing it nowadays. Still being done. That one time that they told it, this one girl, young girl, this guy came in with a peg leg. And what they do on a peg leg, if they'll carve it out of wood, put a pillow on top of it, strap it to the stump. And they'll use that for a part of a leg. And at Azusa Street, this guy came in. He wanted to pray for his leg. He wanted his leg back. And the little girl said, "Okay, we can do that." And she went to praying for him. Commanded that leg to grow out. Commanded the leg to grow out. And the leg wasn't doing nothing. Some elderly lady came back by. She says, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying for his leg to grow out." She said, "How can the leg grow out with the peg leg still on there? Get the peg leg off of there and now command it." She took the peg leg off and commanded it one time. Bam, she had a leg. Glory to God. Sometimes it's the basic things you got to think about. But anyway, God is so cool. He is so cool. We cannot limit him. You know who limits him? Us. We do. We limit him. But I believe this. I'm going to tell you this much. I believe the Lord is going to do something in this bride that's coming up. He's going to anoint us with the trust and the belief system of faith to do exactly what he wants us to do in the days ahead. Lord's already told us it's going to be an awesome time. All right, y'all remember the guy that got translated on the nose of an airplane, don't you? Now tell me that's not out. Go tell that to a Church of Christ, or, you know, somebody like that. They'll think you're nuts. But it happens. I believe it. Another guy the Lord would translate him all over the world. He'd go in these places and he'd go healing people across into Europe or over into Asia, wherever, in China, wherever. One day he was speaking, I believe it was in Florida, and he kept watching this young man over there, watching him. He was standing. He was watching. He said he was watching me. He was over to my left. And he was watching. He said, I wonder what's going on with him? After he got through talking, got down off the stage, the young man came up to him and asked him, he said, have you ever been to such and such and such and such? He said, yeah. He said, have you been there more than once? He said, yeah. And this was over in Europe. He said, yeah. He said, did you go out there and pray for people to be healed and they got healed? He started laughing. He said, yeah, I sure have. He said, I thought so. I saw you over there doing that. So he got confirmation from the Lord. If he needed it, he didn't. But anyway. I am so excited about what the Lord is fixing to do with all of us that believe. So excited. Because I know that the Lord wants this revival to kick off here shortly. And we're going to be in a dead run all the time during this time. And it's going to be miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But guess who's going to be doing it? Jesus. Through us. Through his people. And that's why he wants us to get it right now. He wants us to get close to him. He wants us to draw nigh unto him. And like I believe it was Tim was saying, he wants us to seek him with all our hearts. Might have been Andrew, I don't remember. He wants us to go after him with all our hearts. Every time we got free time, which is a lot more than you think, is to go after him. Now, Lord, I just repent right now for being distracted sometimes. Being distracted from times that I could have been with you, that I chose to do something that Michael wanted to do rather than you wanted me to do. And I ask, Father, that you forgive me and bring me back into that realm of just running after you with all my heart in Jesus' name. And I ask that for my brothers and sisters here too, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And I believe you're doing it, Lord, even right now. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Somebody tell me about a miracle you've seen God do. I tell you a miracle I saw. First miracle I saw was Michael Hare getting saved. That was a miracle in itself. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, it was an endurance sort of faith. The roof of my Jeep was leaking, and I prayed in faith that the water would stop coming out of the roof of it. And one day it was pouring out right, and there was no water coming through. And I said, "Praise God!" You know, I knew he was gonna do it, no doubt. And then I think Karen made a comment one time. It's like, didn't that thing used to drip water? And then I was like, doesn't anymore. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Go ahead, Geneva. Thank you, Ben.
Well, I think about the hurricane and us going through all of that and how the Lord saved us from that and how everybody had damage on, like, terrible damage, and we didn't have one thing wrong with our house. So there's one. But also what came to my heart was when I was a little girl, it's like 7 years old, we lived way out in the country, like really far out in the country. And I was at my dad's house, and he had a double wide out in the woods. And I told him I wanted a dog, and he said, "Okay, well," he said, "just pray the Lord give you a dog." And I said, "Okay." And so I said the prayer, and I had faith, you know, childlike faith. And I said, "I'm going to go out in the woods, and I'm going to find me a dog." And he goes, "All righty, I'll be here waiting." And so I marched down the hill into the woods. You know, not too far, because you could still see, like, he could see me. But I was down there. I was down there for a little bit, and I remember I was just praying, little girl, and I was looking for a dog, and I couldn't, you know, obviously I didn't see anything. And then I turned around, and I was about to walk out, and I felt the Lord tell me to turn back around, and I did, and there was a dog. It was the craziest thing. There was a dog in the woods. And I started screaming and going crazy like a real life dog, just out of nowhere. And I said, "Dad, I found a dog." And he couldn't believe it. You know, talk about blessing your parents' faith, you know. And that stuck with me forever. You know, I know the Lord the Lord just made that animal appear. And that became one of our dogs.
I bet it's a good one too.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? That is awesome. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, well, I guess I could share about Jonah. Some of you might not. Oops. May not know and signal or anything, but he had I'm gonna try to show his picture if you can see it. This is what he looked like. His cheek is really swollen. His lip is three times its size. He had an infection. Am I got it on there right? It was really big, and his eye is swollen shut. And that was the morning after she gave him a first dose of the antibiotic, because she couldn't get it the night before after when she had him in the ER, because stores were closed. She got too late. So she walked to the store and got the medicine, gave it to him. Well, then after that, because before that, he didn't look that bad, but he was swollen. His lip was swollen and his eye was a little red. But then after she gave that to him, she'd show me the pictures of what it would look like. And so it was about 6 hours later, she sent me that picture. So we all prayed, began praying and standing in faith, and all of us together. And so God, just the next morning, I mean, I was just here just constantly saying, he's healed, he's healed, he's healed, just claiming that healing. And if I would seem to get a doubt come in there, if I stopped doing that, something would want to come in. And I say, no, I cast that away. You know, he's healed, he's healed. So I was praying for victory to stand in with faith and believing, and I believe she was. So then the next morning, I got a phone call. I thought it was Victory. Went out that morning. She hadn't called me, and I didn't want to try to call her because I tried her the night before several times. She didn't answer. So I thought, I'm just going to leave her alone. So it was about probably 1:30 or so. I got a phone call, and it was Jonah. I thought it was Victory, and it was Jonah. And he's standing there eating popcorn, and his face is totally normal. He was just healed. God healed him. Just like that. I mean, Victory had found that underneath his lip was a big, huge abscess or something. It was all pus, all under the length of, almost the length of his lip. She said it was terrible. She actually started working on it and squeezing it out as she had Cat May hold the flashlight there, and she was using Q-tips and cleaning it out. And, it was terrible. So, and he was in lots of pain. He was in lots of pain, for, I don't know, a couple of days. That when it got really bad. And so, yeah, that same morning after he gave the medicine, he got so bad, and God touched him. And I don't know when it happened, but at 1 o'clock the next afternoon or so, about almost 24 hours after he was given that, he was totally healed and eating popcorn. So it was amazing. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing that mighty work.
Yeah. Oh, praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Good one. Anyone else?
Can I share another one?
Sure.
Okay. I have a couple more, but I'll just share this one up. Well, our baby Beulah, I'm not sure how old she was. She was little. I was 14 months. I mean, 16 months, 18 months, I don't know, but she was in a bed in her crib at night. And all of a sudden I heard this, we were in the bedroom there. She was in her crib in her room, and I heard the crib shaking, and I got up and look, and she was like in a seizure or something, and she was really hot. And I got Denny, and I said, oh, she's got burning up. So we put her in the tub in tepid water, and then she thought she was too cold, and she was like shivering. We thought she was shivering because she was cold. And so we wrapped up in a blanket and put her between us on the bed. And as we were praying, of course, and praying over her, and later lay there. And then I don't know how long we were there, but all of a sudden just something came to me. It was the Lord. I don't know. I shot up and said, Denny, turn the light on. And he turned the light on. And I looked down at her, and I lifted her up, put my hand on her back and my hand on her chest. And I looked at her, and she was blue. And her heart beat three hard times under my hand. And then her breath came out of her. So she died. She did die and was turned blue, and there was no breath in her. And we were both making sure of that. And he ran to the phone and called the elders of our fellowship then, one of them. And I just got on my knees with her in the dining room, just crying to God and saying, God, you've got to heal her. Just call to heal her. And she said, you can heal her, Lord. Just begging him to heal her, and just tell him, I know he could, and I believe you can do this. And so I remembered a testimony of a woman in our fellowship from Sri Lanka, how she had died, and her husband, held her in his arms for, hours, and she came back to life. So I was telling God, you did it for Naomi, you healed Naomi, and you can do it for me and my baby. Then Beulah, heal her, Lord, heal her. But anyway, it was about, I don't know how long it was. It wasn't like hours. It was like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes. I was on my knees just holding her and crying to God. And as I was looking down at her and we're praying, all of a sudden, it's just like the color just started coming into her, pink started coming into her face. All that other stuff went away, and she was turning pink. And then she opened her eyes and looked at me. And so it was just amazing. I was so excited. Denny was so excited. We just watched God bring her back to life. So it was just It was amazing. It was God. It was just God that did all this. It wasn't not us. It was the Lord. And like we didn't. It wasn't ours, but he still did it. And so then when he did call for them to come because she still had a high fever. So they came to get her, and by the time they got there, she was jabbering, like nothing was wrong. And they took her in the ambulance, took her to the hospital, and we got there, and the doctor was just, she was on one of those beds they lay on, and the doctor was sitting on a desk, just staring at her, because he said, I can't believe this. She shouldn't be, she said, they said that she was in the ambulance, just jabbering to them. He said, she should have been, what is that word? Out when you're out with a high fever, it can just knock you off, forget the word. But anyway, she wasn't. She was just with it. He couldn't believe it. But her fever was 106. So she should not have been talking like, yes, 106. She shouldn't have been talking like that and having, they gave her a teddy bear. She's talking to the teddy bear. And he's like, what is going on here? She shouldn't even be, almost like in a coma or whatever. I forget what that word is. But anyway, so they did keep her in overnight, and I stayed with her too, and put something to infection in her ears that caused that spike of her temperature like that, a sudden infection. It was quickly, and it spiked to fever quickly. So, but it was 106, but then they got that down, and she was okay. So praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good praise song related to what we've been talking about? Possibly. All right. Let's see if I can do this. I have to give it a second. I see it loading up here. It's just going to take it a minute. Not much more than that.
Maybe if you have your VPN on, Michael, maybe you need to turn that off. No?
No, that's not on. Well, make this special. Oh, well. All right, there it is. Can you see it?
You're not sharing screen now.
To chase your presence. That wind I felt before, I've been over 1,000 fences and running like a child in open peace. I'm leaving comfort to chase your presence. That wind I felt before, I wanna feel. Disappointment reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new. You're breaking off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new.
Lord of God. All right. Hey, that was a good song. It was appropriate too, wasn't it? Was the sound and the writing sync in sync? Okay, good. Yeah. All right, good deal, Lucille. Anybody got a testimony? It's testimony time. I got one. I'm healed, in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I'm healed. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I'm healed. Glory to God. And I'll thank you for it, Father. You're an awesome God. And I trust you, Lord. I can hear like Adam did before the fall. I can see like Adam could before the fall. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now I walk in divine health. Anybody else walk in divine health? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? We don't have long. Amen. Walking in the power of Jesus. How many of you got Jesus in a box, like the song said? Now, she said she ain't coming out the box. I believe this, folks. I believe there's coming a time shortly, very shortly, that most of you are going to walk in divine health and you won't have to worry about no fear, no anxiety, no nothing. And you'll know when you walk up to somebody to heal them because God told you, go over and heal that person over there. You'll walk over there to them. God told me to come pray for you. I'm going to pray for you if you let me, and he'll heal you. And after he heals you, he's going to save you too. Bring you into the kingdom. I believe it. I believe God's going to do that for a lot of folks. A lot of folks. I'll tell you something else. When all these people come back during the resurrection of the man child, it's going to be a bunch of folks come back out the grave, just like it did back in Jesus' time. How many of you know that people will get saved then? Amen. Glory to God. I've got a grandson that's coming back. I believe that with all my heart. And I got a grandson-in-law coming back. And I got a little brother coming back too. Glory to God. Boy, we're going to see some hairs getting saved. Glory to God. Go ahead, Missy.
I had a dream the other week where my, I can't remember the beginning part of it, but I was, of all places, at a McDonald's. And I saw my grandmother there. I was surprised to see her there. And she looked like she was like maybe in her 50s, and she looked younger, and she had this purple like sweater on, and her hair was purple. And the only thing I could think of is like royalty. The color of purple is the color of royalty or whatever. But anyway, and I was like, I don't remember what it was I said to her or whatever, but, and I got to thinking, cause you know, I've thought, you know, about all this resurrection and everything. And I've wondered, Lord, are you going to bring my grandmother back? And I was thinking, you know, after I had that dream, I'm like, Lord, you tell me you're going to bring my grandmother back, you know? And anyway, I was just like, for what it's worth, it was kind of a bizarro dream, but it was like really thought provoking. Lord, is that what you're going to do? Boy, that would really get the attention of a lot of my family. That would just blow us all away. Thank you, Lord, for all those you're going to bring back.
Yes, Lord. And I know there's people out there now that's rolling their eyes. Oh, my goodness, here's this bunch again talking about that. I'll tell you something. When it happens, you believe. It happened once. The Lord said it. What is that, Ecclesiastes? What is it? That famous verse that David quotes a lot. Thank you, Lord.
Ecclesiastes 1:9.
Yeah. What does it say, Debbie?
What has been shall be, what has been done shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun.
Amen. Thank you.
There's another one like it. There's another one like it in chapter 3. I don't have that one.
Well, that whole verse is filled up with it. Sure is. So, it's been done before. It's going to be done again. And it doesn't say that they went right back, does it? It doesn't say anything about the rest. I believe they stayed there with their families. I don't know.
Great witnesses, weren't they?
They were great witnesses, absolutely. Witnesses.
They will be great witnesses, and they will be.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and they will be.
I can tell you, for when Austin comes back, the people that he knew a lot of folks. They're going to be a bunch of them come to Jesus. And Ryan, too. And my little brother, Walker. My goodness. All right. Looked like we're out of time. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for tonight. It's been an awesome blessing for everybody here. I believe it. But we believe, Lord, that Holy Ghost, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you just fill everybody up here right now. Fill us up, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. We thank you, Father, for the joy, the peace, and the rest that you placed in our hearts. Again and again and again and again, and I praise you, Father, for it. And I thank you, Lord, for placing bold faith in all of us. In Jesus' name. Ooh, bye, 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 bye. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for all the things that you did. Thank you for all the angels that are around everybody right now. In Jesus' name, and we praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for fixing my audio, too. In Jesus' name, that is fixed. In the name of Jesus. All right. Y'all be blessed and just bask in the wonderful presence of the Lord, like I'm fixing to. Glory to God. See y'all. Bless you.
Amen. Bless y'all.